This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get back to your calls in just a little bit. Start of the show, obviously, talking about the Mets. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. You can also download the podcast version of the show. Right now, we are joined by Howie Rose, who is in Atlanta. And Howie, before we even get into the game or what lies ahead here, what's up with the weather? What are you hearing or what are we expecting to see when the Mets might get these games in, especially tonight?
Well, nothing terribly optimistic. It's not raining now. It rained a little bit earlier this morning. I am shocked that MLB, and I understand there are a lot of moving parts here, and there are a lot of considerations, not the least of which is if they wanted to get the Mets out of here early, if they wanted to try to play a doubleheader today, which I think would have been a good idea to at least try, the Mets could not get into their hotel in Milwaukee a day early. Now, you know, conceivably, you could stay in Chicago and then bust to Milwaukee on the off day, but, you know, that's a little bit too simplistic right now because it's more complicated than that. But right now, here in Atlanta, it is not raining. But the Mets have already moved their batting practice indoors off the field for later this afternoon in anticipation of the rain, which is supposed to pretty well dominate the evening. Now, you look at the forecast depending on what you look at, and yeah, there's an hour here where it's cloudy instead of rainy, maybe 2 hours later in the night. I don't know. It's a crapshoot. I wish they would have been a little more proactive about trying to squeeze these games in. And again, there are a lot of considerations, not the least of which, of course, are the financial ones. The Braves don't want to give up a gate. But the possibility is there, if not strong, that they might have to come here and play one or even two games on Monday with the potential for having to make a cross-country flight to San Diego, potentially, to begin a playoff series the following day. I mean, this is just beyond belief how complicated and sort of precarious a situation this is.
It's total bullcrap, Howie. And the Braves, and they can worry about the gate all they want. They're going to get forced into a doubleheader anyway. You could argue that the Mets should have played two yesterday, and I think I heard you talk about that on the broadcast early on. Okay, but fine, you want to say that's too early? Then it should have been two today, or at the very least, move this game from tonight up. Like,
exactly.
It makes no sense. Now, the last one I want to ask you on this is, when are you planning, or the Mets planning on flying out of Atlanta, regardless of how many games are played there?
Well, the plan was, obviously, play tomorrow night and get out of here. But in case you missed the news, the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, has already declared a state of emergency. Now, a lot of that was somewhat preemptive to mobilize their forces from an emergency management standpoint. But at the same time, if in fact that manifests to where you've got hurricane force winds tomorrow night, answer me how in heck the Mets are supposed to get out of here. So, you know, there's another scenario that you have to consider, whether it's remote or not, that say they get today's game in. And I firmly believe that they should have been proactive the way they were with that game in Detroit and moved today's game up to an afternoon start, maybe even scheduled a doubleheader for today, and try to get the two in today and get the Mets out of here before the weather gets any worse. But, you know, shy of that, the Mets are supposed to fly out of here after tomorrow night's game. And if they can't, well, what do you do? They've got to be in Milwaukee Friday. Do they bang Friday and play a doubleheader Saturday, assuming the Mets can get out of here Friday? So based on that scenario, guys, the potential exists. And I don't know how realistic this is, but you have to consider it, that the Mets might have to play a doubleheader in Milwaukee on Saturday if they can't get out of here until Friday, and then come back here and maybe play a doubleheader on Monday and have to fly cross-country to begin a playoff series the next day in San Diego. That's all plausible.
Wow. Is there no chance, as remote as it might be, that they just use a different venue, Tropicana Field? I mean, we've seen that in the NFL.
I would think they would try to stay away from Florida, even though, well, Tropicana, I would say no to Tropicana right off the top because that's kind of the western part of the state where they're likely to be more impacted. The southeast part of Florida apparently is going to be spared from the worst of it, but they wouldn't go to Florida. I think, as I looked, you know, the potential existed for going to Milwaukee. And how cool would that be? The return of the Milwaukee Braves for a game or two. Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Or certainly Texas. The Texas Rangers are not playing in their home park.
So,
I mean, look, they don't want to do that. I understand that. But it might have been the prudent thing to do. I can remember a neutral site game for the Cubs, which I think they played in Milwaukee, when Carlos Zambrano pitched a no-hitter. Against, I think it was the Houston Astros, in a game they had to move from, I guess, Chicago from Milwaukee to Milwaukee because of bad weather. It's crazy. I could sit here and give you the 10 different scenarios, all of which have a certain amount of plausibility, but I wouldn't, attach the term likely to any of them because right now it's not raining and they seem to think they can get a game in tonight.
Absolutely bonkers. Howie Rose, BT and Sal here on The Fan. All right, so let's get to the game. As you know, there's generally a correlation between confidence and performance, and the Braves fans expect them to win. Braves players feel good when they play the Mets. Did the Mets look tight to you last night?
I don't know how to answer that because they didn't play well. You know, there were mistakes made on that little swinging roller up the first base line, third base line, which was going to be a hit anyway, that Severino was in position to field and throw. Alvarez basically kept going and ran into Severino, complicating his throw to first, which, as you remember, went down the right field line.
Yep.
Marte missed a cutoff man. Acuna on a potential double play ball bobbled, had to settle for one. I don't know. I mean, you can, if you want to ascribe it to tightness, you can. I like to look at it based on the fact that it's one game as something you could throw out. But don't forget, they've got to face Chris Sale tonight. And that brings us, by the way, to another potential scenario. Suppose they start this game, but they've got to delay it because of rain. You've got the, I would say right now, presumptive Cy Young Award winner in the National League, Chris Sale, who might have to be shut down if the rain delay is substantial, and then they come back and they lose Sale. Remember, with his physical history, they've got to be somewhat mindful of that and careful with him. So, I mean, it's just another question that kind of hangs over tonight's game. But, yeah, I mean, the Mets certainly were flat last night. Tight, flat, I don't know. There's a distinction there. But to the naked eye, yeah, you could probably make the point they looked a little tight.
Yeah, and I feel like we've seen this story before for going over 25 freaking years, Howie. You're the perfect guy to ask about this because not only are you a fan, but you've obviously been around this team, covering this team, broadcasting this team for many, many years. For me, I take it personally, and I can't eliminate the history from my mind. But I talked to Terry Collins. He's like, players don't really generally get caught up in that stuff. And I know Mendoza's a different manager than Buck Showalter in 2022. But there are some core players here that got beat and were prevented from celebrating with the champagne in 2022 by this Atlanta Braves team in that freaking house of horrors.
Here's the difference between 22 and now. For me, all through September of 22, you could almost see it coming, right? I mean, if you go back just 2 years, you know, their play, remember they had series after series where it looked like they had a soft and favorable schedule. And they kept losing games to teams that, you know, had they played up to the level that you expected, you would not have thought they would lose to. This was a different kind of September. And not only September, this team's had the best record in baseball since the end of May. So I feel different about them at this point of the year than I did 2 years ago because, I'm telling you, you could almost see it coming before they even got to Atlanta in 22. This is different. You know, I'm willing to shrug last night off and see what happens tonight. And again, obviously you're going against Chris Sale and that's less than an appetizing possibility. But, you know, they pushed Sale back a day because they were concerned about, I say concerned, but his velocity was down a little bit. His last time out, he wasn't nearly as sharp as he had been. So they gave him the extra day. And whether that's an indicator that something's up there, I don't know. But, I mean, they just beat Zach Wheeler, who certainly is in the conversation for the Cy Young. So, look, I've been around long enough. I know when it seemed that the gods were very much aligned with the Mets. I was there for the ball on the wall, just as I was for the ball on the bag the other night. You know, I was there for all the great moments in 69. So, you know, I know that there have been times in their history, need I even mention a little roller up along first, where it seemed like somebody wanted the Mets to win. I'm not willing to say that here we go again off of one game.
There you go.
I love that.
Maybe my partner's going to start
a little better now.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit better, but they got to win tonight. Like, I was with you, Howie, until I saw last night, which just felt and looked all too familiar. You're right. It is different. But then again, you see that. Good God.
Yeah, you're pulling them toward the positive side of the street, sentence by sentence, Howie. By the way, how much fun was the Philly series?
It was great. And again, you know, you go back to Sunday night and the electricity in that crowd. When Brandon Nimmo hit the home run, I mean, I talked to Brandon on the plane on the way down here, and he said he was going to remember that moment and that night for the rest of his life. However this turns out, you know, that's how caught up in it he's been. And if you've heard his post-game interviews, especially when they fed the house, meaning that they're heard by the crowd in the ballpark at the time he's speaking, I mean, he has been as pumped up as he's ever been. So whatever happens the rest of this week is not going to be because of a lack of chemistry and cohesion on this club. They're pulling in the same direction. They really could use their de facto captain back. And the fact that Lindor was in the on-deck circle in the ninth inning last night is encouraging. We'll see if he's in the lineup today and whether or not the potential for the bad weather, you know, might complicate that in terms of the decision, because the last thing you need is him making a move on a wet field that sets him back to the point where, you know, he's out again. So we'll see later when the lineup comes out, and maybe a late lineup, given that they're going to want to see him go through every move and exercise possible. But I would be encouraged by that, too, the possibility of Lindor playing tonight.
I think he's going to play. I did see him running the bases, and he had one of those vests on. I couldn't tell if it was tracking some of the data, like, you know, the GPS, the sprint speed, or if it was actually a weighted vest. I couldn't tell. Myself, I didn't think that his gait looked great. Did you see the video that I'm referencing, and what did you think of the way he was running?
Yeah, guys, he's not going to be 100%.
Yeah.
You know, we may be hoping for a Willis Reed moment here. You know, I don't know. It's very hard because he's frustrated, and I think everybody's frustrated because the good news is that not only did they do the MRI a week ago, but they also did a bone scan day before yesterday. And that all came back clean. I mean, they were concerned that if he's, you know, not progressing the way they hoped that he would, maybe the MRI missed something. That's why they did the bone scan, but that came back clean.
Okay.
So it's a matter of being able, and I asked him this yesterday, I said, what percentage, knowing your own body and how you handle pain, what percent relative to 100% can you comfortably play at and feel that you can help the team? Well, he didn't want to put a percentage on it, but he described it this way. He said he can't see himself playing until when he makes a move and feels pain, the pain quickly goes away, because that's what happens to him when he's a little bit compromised. You know, he may sprint and then have to come to a short stop or make a pivot to make a play defensively, and he'll feel something, but in a best-case scenario, that feeling, you want to call it pain, fine, goes away almost instantaneously. That hadn't been the case until he started running yesterday. Okay. And beyond that, I haven't spoken to him yet to find out how he felt from that point on. But he seemed to say yesterday that he wasn't there yet, and that's where he'd have to be before he would be comfortable playing.
Would you keep Acuna in the lineup somehow, assuming Lindor does come back to play short?
Well, I don't know where you're going to play him at that point. You're not going to take Iglesias out. You're not going to take Vientos out. You're not going to play him in center field right now. No, I think he'd
put
be a weapon off the bench.
Put him at second.
Other than, What about Iglesias? You said
put 17 straight. Put Iglesias at Sal and I talked about this yesterday. Put him at second. Put Iglesias at third.
What are you, DH Vientos?
Yeah. Yes. And you sit Martinez, who's done nothing.
Or with Keith Hernandez on with Boomer and Geo yesterday saying that Dick Scott, I guess, said that Acuna could play center. You know, Bader, Strasburg. I wouldn't do that myself, but that's why I was curious to get your take. So you'd have Acuna on the bench.
Well, you know, you bring up the scenario regarding JD, and Carlos Mendoza indicated pretty strongly last night that Martinez is going to be in there for the next two with left-handers on the mound. You know, Sale tonight for the Braves, and then Freed tomorrow, assuming that they play either or both of these games. So I think the plan is for Martinez to play both of these games, and I'd be surprised if they went through all those machinations just to get Acuna in there. I do look at that bobble yesterday as a sign that, okay, you know, this kid's still raw. It cost them an out. Could have been an ending double play. I'm pitting the loss on him, obviously. I'm going with the seasoned guy here, if you're asking me. And the other thing is I like the weapon of Acuna off the bench to steal a base.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sal. I thought that ball came up on him, and there were a couple of instances.
It did a little bit.
Even for the Braves, where just shortstop seemed pretty rocky, pretty hard last night.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, you know, it used to be, going back too far, Davey Johnson used to tell me that this is when they played at the original ballpark here.
Fulton County Stadium.
Yep. Davey used to say the infield in Atlanta was the worst he'd ever seen.
Wow.
And it's all different. It's all different now. These fields are all different, and you hardly ever see bad hops anymore. Yeah, that came up on. Sometimes that has to do with the spin, too.
But, I still,
you know, as tired as his bat has looked and as in between as he's been on a lot of swings, I'd still go with the experience of JD here, even though he's, what, 0-31 now?
I was a little surprised, Howie, that they – and I'm going to trust the Mets because they've had a great track record of this year. I was surprised that they chose Peterson the way that he's been going over Quintana. What do you think about tonight's starter?
Toss-up, you know, I think that they thought about the opposition, too, that Quintana has faced recently. In some cases, hasn't been as strong. I was – kind of flipping a coin there, too. I mean, I think they like Peterson's ability to get ground balls here. This is a fly ball hitting team. They do a lot of their damage with home runs, and I think that might have something to do with it. And, you know, don't forget, the situation also exists pending the potential for rainouts. And I don't know now that since it's Wednesday, this plays in anymore because Quintana's scheduled to go on Friday. But I still wouldn't rule out him being available out of the pen if you've got an inning where they've got a couple of left-hand hitters coming up. And then, you know, see if that compromises anything for Friday. But, you know, it's kind of an all-hands-on-deck thing, and I think they just like the matchup with Peterson better than they do Quintana.
Yeah, it's wild. It would be wild anyway. Five games to go, one-game lead over Atlanta. Supposed to be playing them for a couple of games, but the weather impacting things here, not only potentially with this Braves series, but also in Milwaukee. It's just it is just crazy. It's exciting. It's what we love. It's crazy. The Mets' magic number, Howie, is 4. Am I correct on that?
Well, yeah, look, the simplest thing is you win 2 out of 3 here, and you got nothing to worry about in terms of a postseason spot. And frankly, I think the Diamondbacks may be cooked. Mm. You know, when they blew that 8-0 lead in Milwaukee the other night, and then have lost the last two and been barely competitive, against the Giants. You know, they just look like they're spent. You know, their pitching has been questionable throughout. They can hit, they could score runs, but I don't know. They look like they might have just about had it. So, I mean, it's certainly conceivable that both the Mets and Braves get in. But again, there are so many moving parts that are weather-related. The Royals, you know, they're playing for their lives, and they're coming in here over the weekend. And, you know, you hope – and I think the weather is good enough that if the Royals can get here, they should be able to play on Friday. But, you know, you're still looking at the potential for even a doubleheader here on Monday with the season on the line. And here's another scenario. Here's another scenario. Let's say that the games – well, it's a little less likely now that the Mets lost yesterday, but they could conceivably, depending on what happens in Milwaukee, get here on Monday, having clinched a playoff spot and having little of anything to play for against a Braves team that, given whatever Arizona does, might have everything to play for.
We said
and
that.
If you're the Mets, especially if you got to play a doubleheader, a meaningless to them doubleheader, which I think is kind of less than likely now, but you know, throw it out there just for fun. What are the Mets supposed to do about their pitching and how they utilize, you know, their players in games that mean nothing to them and everything to the opposition? You got to have some kind of competitive integrity, but, you know, that just kind of stirs the pot a little more too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Mets, I wouldn't throw anybody of note. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. Best of luck, Howie, with the travels. Hopefully we get to clinch here. Next week we'll be talking some postseason with you.
That would be nice, guys. Thank you.
You got it. There you go. And by the way, he said competitive integrity. I don't care what the league thinks.
Baseball could kiss my ass.
Who cares? You got to set yourself up to be healthy and ready.
He's right. Like, I get it.
I understand that as well. Generally, you want to, you know, do what's right by the other teams. Nonsense. You got to set yourself up to be ready to play the next day.
Let Ottavino go the entire game.
Let him start.
All right, big boy, it's on you. All right, BT and Sal, the fan, will come back, get back to your calls here. We'll also have Susan Waldman coming up next hour. We'll get into the Yankee side of things as well. It's going to be fascinating to see how this whole thing plays out with the weather. What a joke. A
lot of baseball here. I got to at least squeeze this in now. I don't know if you saw this. You see what happened with UNLV and their quarterback?
No.
Ah, dude.
UNLV.
Yeah, I'm not going to really get in the weeds of UNLV. Nobody cares.
You know the first thing I think of with UNLV?
Hold on. Larry Johnson.
Yes, Stacey Augman, Larry Johnson.
Got to be. The matchup with Duke and Hurley and Leighton. That was some team. Stacey Augman.
The Running Rebels.
The Running Rebels, man. Tark, that was awesome. Anyway, the UNLV football team, I'll just give you a little thumbnail sketch because it is important to the conversation. They've been bad for a long time. They're 3-0 for the first time since 1984.
What conference are they in? Do we even know?
Mountain West, I think.
All right,
I really think bad. Something like that. They're 3-0. They're never there. They actually got some votes in the AP Top 25. They're having a good season, right? So they had this kid. I believe he was playing at Holy Cross, and with COVID, you get the extra year, whatever. So he played 4 full years at Holy Cross, transferred to UNLV, got some NIL money, obviously made a nice little business deal for himself. And for whatever reason, I guess either it wasn't fully fulfilled, what he was promised or whatever, he basically says, that's it. He puts on Instagram, I'm done, I'm out, I quit, I'm leaving. So here's his teammates. And again, I don't begrudge the young man for making money. You caught a deal, the other party's got to fulfill their end of the deal. But just understand where we go with college sports right now. Again, you don't care about UNLV football unless you're gambling at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know, these San Diego State, and we've all been there. Hawaii, trust me, you and I have both been there.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, you don't care
miss
about
those
them.
Days. But
so do I, actually. Chasing those were fun. They play a lot of defense back then. I won a lot
Hawaii,
of overs.
Second half USC.
Yeah. Right. 100% San Diego State, Boise State, BYU. Well, we know them all.
Those some good Saturdays.
Yeah, they are. Or bad.
Yeah,
anyway, they are having a good season. And I feel for the guys. For the young men and the coaching staff, the quarter. Imagine you design an entire playbook around one young man to come here. You're actually doing something you haven't done since the 80s, and he bails.
Yeah,
ah,
I don't.
Come on,
I don't know if that's what prevents me from getting into college sports.
That's a big part of it.
Definitely, you're right. Definitely being, you know, married, having a kid, whatever, getting older, just not having enough time. Like, if I'm going to dedicate Thursdays and Mondays and Sundays to football, not to mention all the other sports, like Saturdays. I'm sorry, it can't be for the boys. And not if you're married. For me, it can't
unless,
be.
Unless, of course, you play golf with Jerry last Saturday.
I mean, that's...
then it can be for the boys. And you hang around, you have lunch
after. That is true,
That is for the boys.
Still paying for that one. But I can't get into college the way that I once did. And I do think that because of the landscape and the changing the conferences and not being able to keep up with it, Also, I just don't. It's not that I want to prevent young student athletes from making money, to your point, but like and to say like the purity of the sport, I know that sounds so lame.
It hasn't been pure. John Wooden used to cheat.
Right.
John
Wooden
had a
money
man.
But also wanting to watch college athletes just play the game because they're playing the game at that level of collegiate.
I know.
You know what I mean?
There is an element of pureness there.
Even
when they were getting money under the table and driving around brand new cars.
Right, it's
on
always dirty.
Campuses.
It was always dirty and slimy, but now we know about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I just can't get into a spoiled brat, 20-year-old.
No, me neither. Yeah. Me neither. Well, I just wanted to just illuminate another issue with college sports. And, you know, this pertains to basketball as well. The other thing, and I'm with you, like at some points, at as a husband, as a dad, as an adult, you've got to make a choice. If I'm going to watch football, even though we do this for a living, I'm sorry, but even Ohio State and Michigan have no bearing on my career
at this point.
You know? So it's all good, and I don't care enough about to like die. I mean, I'll watch that game, but to watch hours upon hours of football on Saturdays, I'm out with the kids, whatever. But I think that the thing that's really turned me off, not even so much the transfer, which is part of it, the portal, the money, it's that there's no continuity with these rosters. Like, I know I always go back, the golden age, but when I was growing up and it was like St. John's Hoops, St. John's and Georgetown and Nova and Providence and all these Seton Hall, you knew every kid. He came in as a freshman, he played as a sophomore, he was there as a junior, and he graduated as a senior. And you just had battles for 4 years, and like, continuity with rosters is gone. I don't even know who these kids are.
Yeah, it's tough to pay attention to and really get into it. I still like it. If it's on, I'm watching it and I have nothing to do, but it's tough to get into.
It's on, but I'm not really paying attention.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Connie is in Westbury. What's up, Connie?
Hi. I know there was a question about why they didn't schedule a day game yesterday or a day game today.
Yeah.
I heard that there's a business complex that shares the parking lot. And if they're going to do a day game, that they can't do it simultaneously. They can't do it spontaneously. They need to give them notice so they can park elsewhere. Sure. I don't know.
So that's basically a logistical issue, Connie. I mean, that makes sense. I could see that.
Okay. I mean, then don't build the ballpark there. Like, there's got to be some kind of solution other than just, maybe we could get one in tonight. You're telling me they couldn't move that game up, tonight's game up, till 4 o'clock start or 5 o'clock start, even a couple hours, which can make the big difference based on what you were saying with the weather, BT?
Yeah, weather looks like it's going to get really bad right around 9 p.m.
They got to give them a heads up. Big deal. They have the afternoon games. You got to say, hey, you know what? Tough. We need to sell this out with 40,000 people, whatever the stadium holds. Take your business elsewhere for the day. Let everybody work on Zoom for the day. Like, we got a ball game to play here. It's a problem. If this game gets rained out tonight, it's going to be chaos the next few days because there's no way they're getting it in tomorrow. Jeff is in Manhattan. What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Good, BT. Listen, I want to talk about Gleyber. Listen, I'm not a Gleyber Torres fan.
Yep.
But, I mean, I think what they're doing to him is not fair. They're using him as a scapegoat. It wasn't his fault.
Whose fault was it?
It was Soto. Soto had no business going to second base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but hold on. Jeff, two wrongs don't make a right. Now, you can make the point, why is Soto taking second when Judge is on deck? First base is open. You know you're going to walk Aaron Judge at that point. But just because Soto may or may not have messed up, how does that exonerate Gleyber Torres for making it worse?
BT, because if he wouldn't have got the second, Torres would have never tried to score.
I understand that, but you got to read it better, dude. You just got to make a better baseball read. You know?
That's all I'm saying.
Well, Jeff,
I mean,
Jeff, what does Torres going home have anything to do with anything else? He chose to run home.
Yeah, but listen, Sal, you know why he chose to?
Because he's stupid. Because he's not a smart baseball player. It's a stupid, not stupid personally, let me just clarify that. Because he's a bad baseball player. He has a low baseball IQ, that's why he chose to go home. He's got his head up his rear end. Why do you think?
I mean, what he should have done is, I mean, fake going home and going back to third right away. He didn't do it. I mean, I get it, but you know what I mean. But I'm saying it again. I think if Soto would have never done it.
Jeff, you're giving him a pass. You're letting him off the hook. If this was an isolated instance, I still wouldn't necessarily buy that that reasoning behind, you know, letting him wiggle off the hook there. But this is just compounded. Every 2, 3, 4 weeks, something pops up.
It's the same thing over and over again with him.
It's ground ball. He doesn't move at second base. Line drive. He doesn't keep it in front. He doesn't tag up properly. Doesn't throw to the right base. Doesn't make the proper read last night. That is as basic. Now, we are very good. There's one thing that we're very good at on the radio. We are very good. Me, Sal, I'm talking about Gio, the guys who didn't play the game, not Boomer, yeah. Everybody else. We are very good at simplifying something that's very hard to do. Like, hey, Alonzo, why don't you hit? Well, maybe because it's moving 99 miles per hour and it's got a 13-inch vertical drop. Right. I mean, maybe that's why they didn't hit it. So we do make it easier than it really is. But that last night was as simplistic a baseball read as you can have. 9 and 10-year-olds know how to do that better than Torres did last night.
The third
and Judge called him out.
Exactly.
That's all you need to know.
The third base coach is right in front of him, holding up both. There was nothing to be misconstrued about it.
Hands
had the
up.
Double stop sign up. That's it. Stop. Don't go anywhere. And Glaber, for some reason, decided that it was a good play to run.
He just meandered. Like he initially adhered to the stop. This was
he doesn't have his head in the game.
He stopped. He adhered to the stop sign. And then he's just kind of wandering, and he's reading, and he like half commits, and he goes back, and then he's got a sprint, and then he's in no man's land, fundamentally absent. He's absolutely lost.
And that's what I mean. Again, I don't mean to be personal when I say stupid. Glaber's a fine kid, I'm sure. I'm talking about on the baseball field. His baseball IQ is as low from a player as I've ever seen in my entire life. When we come back, we'll have 3RQ, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
A good question.
3 random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
1, 2, 3.
On the Fan.
All right, BT, here we go with a little 3RQ. Where the hell's my list? You guys are... Oh, here we go. Number one.
Yeah.
Do you lay your clothes out the night before?
No. I just grab blindly like I'm homeless. I tell you what, it's really my most frustrating part of the day. It really is.
So then why don't you do it at night?
I used to, when I have a big, like if I have a TV.
Yeah, okay.
Then the suit's out, the tie's out, you know, it's laid out. The shoes, the side, everything's set. When I'm doing radio, which is every day, you know, it's easier during the summer because I've got about 4 or 5, you know, I've got like 10 pairs of shorts, but I have like 4 or 5 that I like.
Yeah, the go-to.
You know how it is, right?
Yeah, of course.
And it's fairly easy, but what's happened now?
Well, it's like you're wearing those again?
Yeah, I know. What's happened, and I don't know why this has happened, nor do I know when it really started. My wife is very good with the laundry, like in terms of doing it. But she doesn't put the clothes away, I notice.
Okay.
So, like, I've got...
She'll fold or no?
Oh, no, she, of course. Okay. She just throw them in a bowl in the corner of the room. Of course she folds.
Oh, well, sometimes my wife will do the laundry, but then leave them on the counter. It's like, okay, you got to fold your stuff. I'm like, all right.
Well, really?
Well, I mean...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Now, sometimes she'll wait before she folds them, and if they're in a bowl, they're a little wrinkly, and then, you know, she folds them, and it's not a perfect fold, and my fold, I think, is better than her fold. It's a little more efficient. That's a folding debate or a podcast. The bottom line is this. I got clothes everywhere, and I can't stand, like, I jump out of bed, I go kiss the kids, I wake them up, I'm happy, I jump in the shower. Yeah. Finding what I'm going to wear annoys me.
Yeah. Maybe you
annoys
should.
Me.
Like, me too, I don't love it. I just... You get out of the shower, I'm like, oh, crap. Man, these jeans, whatever. I do not do it the night before. I heard Boomer and Gio talking about it. You and I have talked about this, not on the air yet. But they're talking about, and they got to get up earlier. So Gio says he has his clothes laid out the night before.
So he does. He lays them out?
Yeah, I've never been. Although maybe when I was in like elementary school or junior high, maybe it was laid out the night before. You have an idea where you're going.
I definitely did. Well, I had to wear a uniform for Catholic school, so that was laid out.
Oh, there you go. I have no idea where I'm going with that. All right. Number two. This is a somewhat personal one.
Okay.
Is it okay to eat in the bathroom?
I've done it before.
I know you have.
How do you know?
I saw you.
Where?
Last week.
Where?
In the bathroom.
What? Were you watching?
We happened to be...
Peeping over the stall, you freak?
We happened to be in the bathroom at the same time.
Okay.
And I saw you having a bag of chips.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's true.
I was like...
That is true.
Noted.
That's true. All right, so I was at the urinal, to be fair.
Correct, yes.
I do not think that I would bring that in the stall. No, I wouldn't. Although not that I never have. Not often. Not I'm trying to keep it clean. Not often, but I mean I have done it on occasion.
Now to be fair, we don't have a lot of time in between.
That's the whole thing. It's not like I'm taking a calzone or meatball parmesan to my bathroom at home. But if I'm hungry and I'm juggling, I guess I'll do both. Yeah. No problem with that.
So what? This is not just a work thing. You're like, yeah, I've done it before.
Not often, but it's been done. I'd be lying if I said no. Why? You thought that was weird when
I just
you saw that?
I don't think... It wasn't that I thought it was weird.
Weird enough for you to bring it up on the show and kind of laugh, so you thought it was somewhat odd.
I don't think I've ever actually seen that in my life before.
Really?
Like, I've been, you know, it's part of what we do sometimes as just humans. Like, you're in the urinals at the same time as other people. Sometimes you see people that walk out, they don't wash their hands, whatever. Maybe, like, you see... I mean, it happens. Okay.
That's true.
You're going to a game, you're in troughs. Like, it's just like
you've
seen it before. I don't think I've ever seen anybody simultaneously.
Yeah. I was hungry, man. It was chips. I remember though. Those were the sour cream. Yeah, those were good. No, those were the cheddar chips.
Oh, okay. All right, I thought it was Lay's.
It's like the one thing that works here with the dispensing, whatever.
Last one. And this is actually a big question here. Is it okay to listen to music? And, I mean, I guess you could even further this, but I'll just keep it as music.
Okay.
Is it okay to listen to music from an artist who is not...
perceived in good light by society?
Yes.
Okay, like Michael Jackson, good example?
Well, P. Diddy was...
Well, obviously P. Diddy now,
you know, Kanye at times with his anti...
Yeah,
like,
R. Kelly.
But yes,
R. Kelly.
Michael Jackson, P. Diddy, Kanye were the main three that I was thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, Diddy's just... That's different.
Okay.
It should all be together.
Now, I've never been a big Puff Daddy or whatever fan, but there is one album that he has that I do like, and there are a couple of good songs on there.
Now,
and
of course there's a couple good songs.
So, like, I had a list of notes of songs that I wanted for years, like on a show or whatever, so I just sent that to Dove, and then I was like, oh boy, there's a couple of Puffy songs.
You gotta take them off.
Yeah, but then it made me think of this question, like, where are we at?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I saw that, you know, Michael Jackson is the one that he just gets a pass. It's called for what it is,
but it's not right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And, you know, I love Michael Jackson. You know, I don't love, like, when did Bad come out? Like, once he started getting into there, I'm like, ugh. But, like, his stuff in the late 70s was just unbelievable. Like, once he broke off from the Jackson 5
stuff was great. I listen to those songs all the time.
No, I do, too. But I heard it the other day, and, you know, like I told you, I get in the car, I listen to Sirius. I listen to the sports a little bit, but I want to bounce around. 70s, 80s, 90s, Blend, Yacht, I mean, Ozzy, Air Nation, whatever. LL Stage, I got it all. And I happened to hear a Michael Jackson song, and the way it was introduced, I mean, he was introduced like he's the greatest human being of all time. I mean, come on.
So the way
just do a Google search on Michael Jackson.
And by the way, it's not just musical artists or performers.
Yeah.
It also is with actors or like Hulk Hogan, for example. Yeah, I grew up loving Hulk Hogan, but he's on tape as being a disgusting
about the racist comments.
So. So what am I, or athletes, like, you know, guys who are arrested for domestic violence or disputes or whatever. Yeah. So what are we supposed to do as Yankee fans or Met fans? Because a guy got nabbed for that. We're not supposed to root for Aroldis Chapman or Jose Reyes or whatever it may be. I don't think that's fair to the consumer. So now, because I love Michael Jackson's music, I can't listen to it because he's a pedophile.
Like,
I find him disgusting as a human being. Yep. Same thing with Puff Daddy. Yep. But what? I can't listen to his music? Or because Kanye is a nut job, like, I can't...
No, you definitely can.
I know, it's just a weird thing.
Well,
like,
I'll tell you what's even more weird, I think even more frustrating, is that, you know, somebody can hit the cancel button on you for an ill-timed joke or a poorly delivered joke, and depending upon the depth of the joke and the direction, I could agree with some of those for sure.
Right.
But yet we could just, you know, ignore all these artists and continue to prop them up. Hey, listen, you're an entertainer. Yeah, just keep on entertaining us.
Chris Brown is another one.
Yeah, Chris Brown. It's got to be two-way street.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care who you are or where you're from. If you did something egregious, child molestation, rape, physical violence against women, I mean, you if you're not canceled, then we're not living by the same rules. You got to disappear. I don't want to hear from you.
Right. But then again, like, let's just say Michael Jackson was alive or whatever, and he was canceled when this stuff came out. Like, so then why? We can't listen to it. Like, Puff Daddy's... He's done. He's more than canceled.
It's over.
So does that mean that his music should just be...
It should. I mean, I don't know how you play it on the radio.
Well, if you liked it, you don't like him necessarily. Well, right, play it on the radio.
Well, that's different. That's why I mean, like, it's a societal cancelization or a personal choice. Like, if... I'm gonna hold me down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's certain songs that I like.
Faith. Right.
I really like that. And I like the video with the motorcycle.
Yeah.
I get it. So if I hear that, I don't want to be disingenuous. If I hear that today, and it's like, and I don't love, you know, a ton of his songs, but there's like 3, 4, or 5 that I really do like over the years. If I hear it, am I going to change the station? I might not, full disclosure, but that's different than a radio station, this is just my opinion,
they shouldn't
a radio
be promoting.
Station willingly playing that, like, to me, there is no way you play
you
that
anymore. You
shouldn't
be promoting no his music.
No,
and that
no
goes
way.
For Michael Jackson as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't promote it.
I mean, it's basically, you know, it's not, I don't want to say it's the same thing, but still, like, it's all...
Yeah, hey, now keep in mind, like, criminal cases are different, and we're getting in the weeds here. Is he a convicted molesterer? I know that the story...
I don't know, but we know
dots
enough.
Connected, paying yeah. people off. We know that he's weird,
I just
obviously.
Don't, I just don't think, and there is a difference between promoting it, I guess, on the radio or playing stuff on TV, whatever it may be. But I don't think that the consumer, whether you're a Chris Brown fan, whether you're a Michael Jackson fan, a P. Diddy fan, whatever the hell his name is, I don't think we should be punished, or Kanye. I loved Kanye West music for a long time. And what, now I should be ashamed or embarrassed to listen to it and enjoy it?
No,
or
listen.
I'm not allowed to enjoy it because of what he says and believes, even though I disagree with it vehemently?
No, like, you got a barbecue at the Licata house and you want to bump it in the pool, and then that's your prerogative.
I guess. You're right, but then also, you know.
You might offend some people who were there. Well, they can leave.
Yeah,
it's your house.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, all I'm saying
just
is
a weird.
It is, I agree. It's inconsistent. First of all, I'm all for giving people a second chance, provided you don't cross the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines you cannot cross where you can't come back. Let's have dialogue. Let's try to give you a chance to prove yourself that it was a mistake. You're going to become a better human. Now, if you do one of those things that you can't do, you're gone forever. But let's just be consistent. You know, let's not just prop up athletes and entertainers and musicians and everything. And like a comedian says, an ill-timed joke or an off-color joke, and he's gone, but the music's still bumped. Let's be consistent.
I'm all for that. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back, reset it with the crown topic of the day, the Mets losing yet again in September in Atlanta. We'll get to that, 888-808-1019.